everybody, it's Marcus here. Welcome to the Goody Reader Radio Show. The date is Saturday, May 29th, 2010. Now, there's been a lot of exciting developments in the e-reader and tablet slate PC world. One of the most notable factors is our June edition of the Goody Reader magazine is now available. So, if you have not checked it out before, we do recommend checking it out. It's $1.99 for the first issue. And $3.99 every month afterwards. It's about 21, 22 pages. We feature all of the latest news. One of our lead stories going into this month's issue is the state of affairs with tablet and slate PCs. As you know, 2010 is the year of the slate. With the rise of the iPad and many other competitors to the marketplace, there's a lot of decisions to be made on what tablet or slate PC is the best for you. So we break down 30 of the most prominent slates made by companies from Nokia, Freescale, Google, HP, Dell, and other top companies. We break it down on what the specs entail, what type of value that you're getting for your money, what type of operating systems they're being run on, and everywhere in between, as well as the latest news in publishing, ebooks, and electronic readers. So definitely check it out. You can subscribe by visiting our website at goodereader.com or goodereader.com/blog. Now, some of the latest news happening in the last few days has been tremendous developments, to say the least. Sony has just filed a patent to work on a new dual-screen e-reader. Now, this dual-screen e-reader is similar to the Entourage Edge, which has been released earlier this year. Now, the Entourage Edge is done by a startup company. They're more aimed at students, whereas Sony has more of a retail presence with casual consumers and customers worldwide. So there's a lot of attention on these patented developments right now. You're basically looking at a solar-powered dual-screen e-reader that will have a built-in accelerometer, so you could read it in landscape mode as well as in normal mode. It'll have an on-screen keyboard, and you'll be able to flip between the two modes both manually or with the built-in accelerometer. Now, the solar-powered battery is entrenching into LG's territory. We reported earlier last month that LG was working on a solar-powered e-reader, and there was a lot of worldwide attention on the fact that it was the first solar-powered e-reader, and that most people who do have e-readers are reading them outside the home. And so when you're mobile and on the go, often if you have Wi-Fi, 3G, and other features enabled, it can really put a damper on your battery life. So being able to actually charge it when you're on the go might be a big buying decision for a lot of people. Now, there isn't a whole lot of specs. Sony is believed to have a device in late prototype stage, although they have not disclosed any pictures of it or really divulged any type of specs. We believe that as soon as the patent is submitted and attained, we will be for sure hearing more news on that. Now, just yesterday we reported other news that Sony has formed a partnership for the second time with Japan. Now, Sony tried to penetrate the Japanese market in 2007 and then quickly pulled out because of the lack of sales. E-readers are becoming tremendously successful, both in the market and both in the news and media. There's definitely a lot of attention, a lot of companies making a lot of money with e-readers. And so the Japanese market for e-books is estimated at about $500 million or 46 billion yen, which is a lot of money to be had. And with a major player like Sony entering the market and forming key partnerships with such firms as the KDDI Group, Toppan Printing, and the Shimbun Newspaper, they'll all hold 25% stakes. Their ebook store will have comics, magazines, newspaper, as well as ebooks. This said Sony just yesterday, actually. So people's awareness of ebooks have been enhanced rapidly, said a senior vice president of Sony Electronics in the US. They had a joint press conference just yesterday to announce this. So we'll be definitely following the story more carefully. The big news is that Sony will be releasing a new e-reader for the Japanese market. Now, it's doubtful that their patent application for the dual-screen e-reader, it's pretty well that's not going to be the e-reader that they're going to enter that market with, because that seems to be more of a gadget that will take off more in the North American market more than it would in the Japanese market. But word has it that they're going to redo either the Sony Daily or the Pocket Edition in order to localize that more towards the Japanese market, as well as built-in dictionaries and all that good stuff. Now, the last few days, big news isn't just totally with Sony, but there's a tremendous amount of Amazon news as well. We reported just yesterday that in a Seattle coffee shop in Washington, which, if you don't know, Amazon is a Seattle, Washington-based company. Now, there was an Amazon film crew there, and there was a guy who snapped a photo of a new Kindle device. Now, people said that this was the Kindle Black Edition. A lot of people were speculating that this picture was not of a Kindle, but of one of the new Asus e-readers, as well as the Sony Daily 900 with a custom skin. But news has surfaced today that Amazon, that photo was possibly legit, because Amazon has announced that they're working on a Kindle touchscreen edition of their e-reader that's going to be coming out in August. So it makes sense that they're doing promotion this early. Now, this looks like to be a big move for Amazon. There was a lot of speculation earlier this year that due to Freescale's technology, who supplies Sony and Amazon with their e-ink screens for their electronic readers, Amazon made a very lucrative acquisition a few months ago in the name of TouchCo. Now, TouchCo is a company that specializes in touchscreen e-reader technologies, and they will be furnishing Amazon with the new screens for this. Now, they won't be color, mind you, although color e-ink screens do exist. You will see a number of color e-readers debut towards the end of the year. Freescale, again, who makes these screens, have basically said they have the technology, and it's actually cheaper if they get enough orders to make the color e-ink screens. So you'll probably see all at once later on in the year a number of new companies debuting color e-ink technology. Now, with the Kindle, it's known as the Thin Edition, and rumor has it that it's going to come in numerous colors. It will be full touchscreen. It won't have the Kindle keyboard as the Kindle DX, the Kindle 2, and the original Kindle had. It'll still have a few buttons on the side for manual page flips, but it will be totally touchscreen technology. It will be bundled with new Kindle applications. Kindle and Amazon released an SDK earlier on in the year, and this new Kindle will be packaged with a new web browser. It'll also be thinner than other editions of the Kindle DX and Kindle 2. It'll have more responsive screen, sharper picture. It'll have a full touchscreen interface. The contrast will be sharper and more refined, and there'll be faster page turns. Now, there really isn't a whole lot of more information available at this time, but we'll certainly break the news as it develops. But it looks like that Amazon is releasing a touchscreen Kindle e-reader, and it's going to be coming in August. So this is big news if you're a huge fan of Amazon and you love the Kindles. In other Amazon news, Amazon and Penguin Publishing kissed and made up. Now, they've had a very rocky relationship within about the last year. It really reached a crescendo late April, when Penguin pulled all new bestsellers from Amazon, and Amazon responded by offering Penguin hardcover books for as low as $9.99. Now, when Penguin pulled new bestsellers from Amazon, it was roughly about 150 titles that were affected, and there was a strong user outcry from Kindle and Amazon users that were not able to buy new releases by authors they loved because of the relationship. Now, the details regarding their reconciliation were not publicly divulged, although both a Penguin and Amazon spokesperson both said on Thursday that they have reached an agreement, that pricing and everything is not known as of yet. But I wanted to give you guys a little history on Penguin and Amazon's rocky relationship. Now, Amazon, if you guys don't know, have really carved out a big niche for themselves by selling ebooks for $9.99, both new bestsellers as well as older books. Now, Amazon became the largest online retailer of ebooks by undercutting all of their competition. If you look at the Sony bookstore, the Barnes & Noble bookstore, as well as the iBookstore, many books are priced more than $9.99. You're looking at the average price between $10 and $15. Now, publishers, because they don't make the full sale for each ebook sold, and Amazon actually paid publishers less than most of their competitors, most publishers weren't making a whole lot of money with Amazon. Now, this was affecting relationships, especially with bigger publishing companies such as Simon & Schuster, Penguin, Harlequin, other big companies that release a lot of books. So they have let bygones be bygones, and as a Amazon purchaser of ebooks, within about a week, you'll start to see all of the new Penguin bestsellers reappear on Amazon. In other publishing news, the Apple iBookstore has opened up self-publishing tools. Now, they're the second company to do so in the last week. The first was Barnes & Noble with their Pubbit software, which we've covered in an earlier broadcast. You can also read the story on our blog. I believe it's on the second or third page by now, or you can search for Pubbit. Now, Apple, via their iTunes, have made a new application called iTunes Connect, and basically, it's not a super straightforward process to be able to self-publish your books and have them featured in an iBookstore. All you really need is to have your book made in EPUB format, and you have to validate it using an EPUB check program. And this basically is a program that is not unlike Copyscape and other programs like that, that basically makes sure that your book is original, that it's valid, that it's just not a copy of another book republished. You also need to get a 13-digit ISBN number. Now, getting that number isn't really that hard. You have to register your number with the US ISBN agency, and it takes about as little as under 2 weeks in order to get this number. Also, you need to have access to a Mac computer in order to participate. You have to encode your ebook with Apple's proprietary software, which needs an Intel Mac running at least OS 10.5. And the encoding process used Apple's proprietary system to add its own DRM, or digital rights management, to the book, in ensuring that your writings won't be distributed outside the iPhone or the iPad. Also, you need an iTunes account. The big deal with submitting your books through the iBookstore is that Apple will actually give authors a 75% cut of the sale. Now, this is the also 75% is the same amount that Barnes & Noble gives with their Pubbit software. Amazon roughly only gave 30 to 35% for their self-published authors. But due to these big companies offering authors so much more money, that Amazon doesn't want to lose a lot of their self-published authors that are selling a lot of books on Amazon, making Amazon money. So Amazon is actually, in middle of June, upping the ante by offering their authors 75% of the deal as well. So it's a good thing that Apple, Barnes & Noble, and other companies are offering self-publishing tools for authors. In one respect, it empowers independents to be able to not have to sign publishing deals, that you can build up your own following of people that are interested in your books by having profile pages featured on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes and being able to have a blog and attract followers, have Facebook groups, Twitter followers, and all that good stuff. So it's never really been as easy as it is now for people to self-publish and actually make a viable income doing so. So, summary, the iBookstore is now made self-publishing a reality through their iTunes Connect. You can find the links to everything that we've talked about here, including links to the ISBN Registry Authority, as well as the iTunes Connect, as well as tutorials on how you as an independent author can actually submit books. Now, this week has been huge for e-readers. We've talked about really nothing else in this radio show so far. Now, Acer has announced a LumiRead e-reader. They're going to debut this at the Computex Computer Trade Show, which incidentally is the second largest trade show for computers in the world. Now, it will feature a monochrome e-ink display, and it will have a QWERTY keyboard. So much like the Amazon, how it has a full QWERTY keyboard built into the device, this is what this will have as well. It looks a lot like the Kindle DX in a lot of respects. It'll have 2 gigabytes of flash memory, which will hold about 1,500 ebooks. There is also a micro SD card, so you can actually upgrade it to about 32 gigs or so. It will incorporate Wi-Fi, and we'll have 3G as well. There will also be a built-in web browser so you can actually surf the internet in e-ink. Now, one of the unique aspects of the e-reader is that its ability to scan ISBN numbers from real books. The numbers can then be used to create a wish list for the future titles you would like to have in your e-reader. Now, you can actually search or take pictures of the ISBN numbers or key them right into your device, and then actually search various stores and pop the ebooks right on your e-reader for you to purchase. Now, they have also formed a partnership with Barnes & Noble. So this is a strategic partnership that if you purchase the new Acer e-reader, you'll actually be able to use Barnes & Noble's store. So you will be able to read books in both PDF and EPUB formats. The president of Acer basically announced this just yesterday. They were really hyping this. This is Acer's first big e-reader, and they are definitely working on a number of devices. We should have pictures and full specs of it from the Computex trade show, but we have an early press release photo that was just taken on Thursday of last week of this device. It looks really slick. There's pictures, there's text. It's looking very, very nice and vibrant. This may be like a viable e-reader. The only thing that's really unknown right now is the price, as well as the 3G availability, both in the US and internationally. So we're going to definitely cover this story in more details during the first few days of June when the Computex trade show industry happens. Now, one of the last bits of e-reader news that we're going to get into before we play another song is the Kobo e-reader has just launched in New Zealand. Now, in New Zealand, you can purchase this new device for $295, which is a little steep considering that it sells for roughly $149 in the US and Canada, and $199 in Australia and in other international destinations. Now, this is New Zealand will be the fourth official country in the world that this device has been launched in, and it will come bundled with about 100 free classic ebooks in the device. To buy new ebooks, you actually go to the Wickcools website, which is the big company in New Zealand, the major bookstore. It'll be a custom bookstore. You'll have access to about 2 million titles, including a wide range of both local books published and made in New Zealand, as well as all of the bestsellers made by all the top publishing companies. Now, you're not just limited to dealing with Wickcools for this, but because the Kobo e-reader's primary format is EPUB format, which a lot of other online stores, including our own Good E-Reader store, we publish all of our stuff, as well as Kobo, a lot of Smashwords, and other companies like that, all do in an EPUB. So you can definitely purchase EPUB books and load them into your Kobo e-reader. Now, this is definitely good news. Kobo is probably one of the most effective entry-level e-readers, but don't let its low price fool you. It's bundled with great features. It's pretty well the best entry e-reader for under $200 that you can purchase in Canada or the US. In New Zealand, it is priced a little bit more, but for the bang for your buck, it's definitely a very viable investment. A lot of user feedback on our Good E-Reader forum has been generally positive. There's been some small complaints about fonts and the different amount of programs that you have to use in order to load books into it, such as using Adobe Digital Editions, both to remove books from your current reading library, as well as to load new books into your device. There's also been some font issues where if you load EPUB books from other sources other than just the Kobo bookstore, a lot of the fonts are too small to read. We do have tutorials and everything to work around that on our Good E-Reader forum. So make sure you check it out at goodereader.com/forum and just check out our Kobo e-reader section. There's a lot of great user discussions going on where people are trading tips and techniques back and forth. So if you're thinking about buying a Kobo e-reader and you want to check out some reviews, or if you already have one and you're encountering some problems, you know, check out our forum. It's a great resource in order to, you know, troubleshoot your e-reader a little bit more effectively. Now, we're going to play a little bit of a songs and back to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. This is the Week in Review Edition. The name's Marcus, and if you're an avid listener to the Good E-Reader Radio Show, you know that we cover the latest news in tablets and Slate PCs exclusively. We don't really get into a lot of tech like a lot of the other tech blogs and sites get into where they talk about TVs and mobile phones and all that jazz. We basically just exclusively follow e-readers and tablet slate PCs, which quickly have made us the industry reporter on the latest news. So if you're a writer, if you're an avid geek, if you just love new gadgets and technology, keep on checking out Goody Reader. We post up to 3 or 4, sometimes 6 or 7 new articles a day. And we only really post the breaking news stories, really important information as far as product launches, new features, as well as all of the news in ebooks and publishing, with a special emphasis on self-publishing. We have a soft spot in our hearts for people that, you know, take the risk and, you know, go for all or nothing and self-publish. If you have an Apple iPad, which probably many of you in the US do right now, and if you don't, it's not from probably a lack of will to buy one, it's just from a lack of supplies. Barnes & Noble has announced that they're doing a new e-reader application for the iPad. So you can actually have the iPad, and if you have a Nook already, or if you have a collection of books that you've purchased with Barnes & Noble, you can simply install the Barnes & Noble app, and you can have access to all the books that you've purchased, as well as make new purchases. The Barnes & Noble e-reader app will feature their new Lend Me technology, which lets you share eligible e-books with friends and family. Now, this is comparable to new technology that Barnes & Noble has just released. It's very useful, in our opinion, to be able to share books for up to a few weeks with friends, family, loved ones, etc. Now, some of the useful features of this application is that it allows you to access newspaper and magazine subscriptions. And this is something that iBooks and the Kindle apps currently don't support. The app is available right now, so you can simply make a search for Barnes & Noble or Barnes & Noble e-reader app, and you can certainly download it for free immediately and install it. Speaking of the iPad just recently had a big international release. You probably saw a lot of footage on major media outlets, on people in Japan going crazy over this device, people lining up over 4 or 5 blocks. Now, the iPad has been launched somewhat internationally. If you've made pre-orders, you should receive them in a lot of countries like Canada and the UK around June the 9th. Although Apple recently took down the exact dates off of their webpage. So they all had for international dates for Western European countries, Canada, Australia, and so on as June the 9th. But they have just ambivalently said they will be shipped somewhere in June. So although in some select countries right now, iPad is seeing some release, that their stock is tremendously limited. So if you're looking at buying the lower tier items, such as the baseline 16 gigabit Wi-Fi option or the Wi-Fi 3G option for 16 gigabits, you're going to have to get there early. But probably if you're listening to this already, they're already all sold out. So bear in mind, you can still buy them off of eBay for overpriced, or you can simply try to make an online order and be one of the first ones to get it without having to stand in line for hours or days to get it. In other tablet and slate PC news, the Dell Streak has actually made its UK debut. A lot of people were excited about this device. It, in our opinion, is like an oversized smartphone at about 5 inches, so it's certainly a lot bigger than a lot of other smartphones. It has a SIM card slot, so you can actually make calls, but it also has 3G and Wi-Fi, so if you don't want to throw a SIM card in there, you can use such applications like Skype, Google Talk, and other applications like that. It's going to be running Android 1.6 right now, although it will be upgradable to Android 2.2, the Froyo model that was just shown off at the recent Google I.O. conference a few days ago. It'll also be compatible with Flash 10.1 later this year. Now, the specifications for this are pretty impressive. It will be using the same Snapdragon processor as the Google Nexus One used. It's 1 gigahertz. It's basically double the speed as the iPhone 3G or the 3GS. It will use 5-inch capacitive multi-touch screen technology. 800 by 480 pixel resolution and 2 gigabytes of storage. You can further increase this to 32 gigabits with a micro SDHC card slot. It'll also have a very long battery. It'll have 5 megapixel autofocusing camera with LED flash, as well as a video camera. The camera is both front and rear facing, so you can actually do video conferencing with this. We're pretty excited about this device. We're going to try to get our hands on one to do a product review. The one thing, I've had a Slate, I've had the Apple iPad as well, I've had some earlier tablet PCs. The one drawback is that they're not as portable as they're made out to be. Although that they are large, that they are they can't fit in your pocket. To really go anywhere, you need a carry bag, a messenger bag, a purse, a backpack, and so on. It's not this type of technology that you can just like run around with and it weighs next to nothing. Whereas the Dell Streak is in effect an oversized smartphone. It's not exactly a Slate, it's not exactly a mobile phone, but it's somewhere bridging the gap between the two. And I'm very excited about new devices that fit in your pocket, but are very fast and can do all of the normal business functions of day-to-day usage, as well as casual functions such as, if it's flash enabled, that means that you can surf the internet and not, you know, time out on flash enabled websites. Websites will resolute properly, and this is something that the Apple iPad doesn't do. As you know, Adobe and Apple have been at each other's throats over flash in the media quite prevalently in the last month or so, trading New York Times full page ads against each other, having various very public devices about them ripping each other apart. Steve Jobs said that flash is unstable, very unsecure. It's not a good way to do business. So Apple and Microsoft have formed a loose partnership to try to develop HTML5, which has built-in media sharing, and it's a little bit more secure than flash. But don't write flash off yet. You probably won't see the majority of the internet switch to HTML5 until a few years. So for now, the Dell Streak is available in the UK, and it'll be available in the US later on this summer. Now, there's a ton of other e-reader and tablet Slate PC news. You can catch the majority of this week in review in an article we're going to publish probably Sunday night, and it will run down all of the multitude of new tablet and Slate PCs both to be announced and to be released, such as the Arco 7 home tablet, which has just been released. We'll get into specs as well as what is the value for your money. Penn Digital has released a new color e-reader. Amazon has just put out their firmware update for 2.5 that enables commenting of select book passages to Twitter and Facebook, as well as other features such as faster page turns and better organization of your collections. There's a ton of news, so you can definitely get caught up in continuing to check out our e-reader blog at goodereader.com/blog. And this is Marcus, and you've been listening to The Week in Review with Good E-Reader. Thanks for visiting us, and we'll talk to you soon.